Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? I'm Chris Fairbanks. Normally with me is Karen Kilgariff. She is in the middle of multiple riding jobs.
She's too successful.
She's nose to the grindstone. She is just riddled with success. Like the person to my right just said, that is Matt Kirshen. Hello,
hey.
Matt.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
How are you?
I'm very good, man.
For right now, if you don't mind, you are my co-host.
I can do that.
I know that you got on board initially knowing that you would be a guest, but before we pick up, our co-host for today, Henry Phillips, we have to go to his house, at which point he will become the co-host. And you will then become the guest. But until we go to his house...
I can get that. I get that.
You are the co-host.
That works for me.
I mean, generally the job is the same.
Does Henry know that we're on our way?
Henry very much knows.
Like, do you need me to text him when we're close?
You know what? I got people on this. We got a main office. I was about to lie. I texted him before we left.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm the people that is on. Me and Siri, which is, of course, Tom Cruise's daughter... have contacted Henry, and we are going to pick up.
It's kind of weird how Tom Cruise got his daughter to be the computer for Apple products.
I mean, a lot of Scientologists see their kids as, a way to make, extend their celebrity.
Yeah.
And he did it in a weird way, though, with Apple. I thought that was and she has a very adult voice when you ask her... Filthy things.
At Apple is, of course, Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter.
Yeah, they... Really?
For whom Tom Cruise does the... the voice.
Of course. I did not even...
All celebs know each other, so that's kind of how it works.
It really all happens on Franklin in the Scientology Center. Something that a lot of people won't make light of or joke about, but...
They won't.
You know what? I'll push that envelope.
Yeah, other more successful people will...
They're scared.
Yeah.
I'm not scared.
No.
Should I be?
You don't fear a damn thing.
Maybe I should be.
I mean, you were just telling me beforehand you skateboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheat death literally every recreational hour you take.
I mean, I do. Occasionally there's threat of me rolling my ankle, but I don't know that death is imminent at any point. But with these Scientology people, I think if they corner you and they're like, hey, you don't, you've been talking smack about us, you can just write a check and join their club, right? What would $4,000, and then all of a sudden...
Then you're like... Then it's like me doing a Jew joke.
Yeah, I
suppose. You're like, oh, you're an anti-Semite. You're like, no, I can show you my bar mitzvah video. I'm allowed to do this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. What if I become one of you?
Yeah, then you can no longer... They can no longer criticize you for...
You know what? Sometimes I think about it. I think about becoming a Scientologist. And I don't think that any... You know, they all seem very happy.
Do you think you'd be able to bite your tongue for long enough?
Yeah, I would just, you know what? I'm starting to think I'm malleable mentally enough to be, pulled into it. Because I have an empty void in my head where there isn't any kind of religion. So what if they were like, oh, this is making sense. I think our emotions are alien ghosts or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that?
Sounds good to me. It sounds
sounds plausible and working.
It's plausible. It's workable. Now, what we just left... was the improvisation in Hollywood, California.
I love it when people still call it by the full name.
Yeah, it's the improvisation.
It's, is it even, like, is the company even still called the improvisation?
I can't remember. It's been a while since I wasn't paid in cash, which is usually upwards of $8 to $12. But on a check... God,
that was even worse. Like, what... They pay you really small amounts, the two sets there. But at least they pay you cash now. When I first did it, they paid it by check.
Yeah, and you had to fill out a W-2.
Yeah, and you go like, well, what am I supposed to... It's gonna...
I think one year they realized, yeah, we've never paid anyone more than $600 annually, which means you don't have to report anything to the IRS, as far as I know. Although I am under investigation, so I don't know much.
Are you under investigation?
Yeah, they've been calling, and I don't think it's to say hello. We just recorded... what would you call that, what we just did?
Well, what this was, I believe, is a test of concept slash get footage for a potential sizzle reel.
Yes.
For a potential TV show idea.
So a sizzle reel is something that you show before it goes to pilot? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, yeah. Right? That's a... It's like a mini self-funded pilot.
Right.
So you make... I think these guys are all turning left, by the way. Right?
They are all turning left. It's funny that when Karen Kilgariff, who usually is my co-host...
Yeah.
She's driving usually. She's very good at multitasking. I don't know if you noticed, but girls can do... Often to a fault, many things at once. Which is why they have a cracked cell phone, because they're... doing many things, but that seemed like I slided. It did seem that way. I'm going to go ahead and own up to that. But she drives very well while talking, whereas I'm like, hands on the road. I'm a professional driver. I do not know how to talk right now because I can only do one thing at a time.
So yeah, a sizzle reel.
Yes, a sizzle reel.
A sizzle reel is like a 5 or so minute short video piece that's like, hey, this is what our show will be.
Right.
And they show it to people who then might fund the pilot as a sales tool.
And so because, you know, they're riddled with funding money, you filled the room with high school children.
Yeah, that's what they did. So what they did, this is a show that's being produced by the production company that's aligned with my managers, who were also aligned with the improv. They're all part of the same...
Levity.
Yep.
Yes.
So because of that, they used the improv to film it, and they're like, and they were talking to the manager of the improv and went, so when could we maybe do this? And she was like, well, we've got these shows, these 8 o'clock shows, which are filled with teenagers, and you could do it for 20 minutes before that starts.
Isn't that, I ran a Kimmel set last week in front of those kids, and that is not who you want to be testing adults.
Oh, totally. Even though they tell you you can do adult material, but what they mean by that is it doesn't matter if you say fuck. What it doesn't mean is you can do material that is not about them. Not
right,
in a way.
Right.
Like, it's not a fair judge of what will and won't work.
Yeah, you can use adult language. They used to say you couldn't during these teen tours. But now, I think adult themes, though, if you talk about anything, which that's all I talk about.
Yeah.
Is grown-up stuff, and we learn to do comedy in front of adults who are in nightclubs, who are drinking. It's weird to talk to kids. Some of them have, like, beards and stuff, though. Can you explain that?
Some of them looked...
30.
Some of them, yeah. A few of them, and then there were a few people who were in the room who were definitely not part of that teen tour.
Right, okay. Like, the dude that kept chiming in, that was, like, a hipstery guy.
But I don't know. I think he
was 30.
Maybe he was their supervisor.
Maybe.
Why was their supervisor the one heckling? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'll take my lead, kids. It's, here's exactly what you shouldn't do. And then he does it so they don't have to. Honestly, they're pretty well behaved. If I think about what it was like when I was in high school, I think we all would have been a little more rude. They were attentive, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I would be like. I think a bit of them, because they're not from LA, so they don't have that kind of jaded, yeah, we've seen this kind of stuff before.
We are going to pick up Henry Phillips.
There he is.
He's going to get in the back seat. I'm going to turn on the hazards. People are on my ass.
Hey,
oh,
Henry,
how's it going?
Sorry, do you mind getting in the back? I really apologize. I like to pick up people on the door side that's facing traffic. I figure
what's
that's
happening?
Hey, how are you?
Are we podcasting?
We are podcasting.
Sweet.
Good to see you. I'm gonna turn off the hazards. Sorry to make you wait.
Oh, no problem.
Matt and I were just talking about the high school audiences that have been at the Improv all month.
Teen tours.
Yeah. Do you have the
teen
mic
tours?
Back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. What are your thoughts on that?
I used to do better. The last couple of times I did it, I don't know if there's a threshold with age where you just lose the connection. I didn't do very well. I felt like they were just staring at me.
Incidentally, this is the point where I warned you of it, Matt. You are now the guest. You are no longer.
Yeah, well, I felt that change. I felt the second Henry got in the car, I felt my position switching.
Yeah,
so
even though
you're the
still
co-host?
Sitting next to me, he was the co-host for a little while.
So and I just want to know how to behave.
You're fired, Matt, but would you take the job of being our guest today?
Well, I'm insulted to have just been fired, but I do like you as a person, so yes, I will
take it. Okay, you're hired.
You should be complimented that you got hired in a lateral position.
Oh, exactly. That's a very good point. And Henry, you're fired from not being on the podcast anymore, and you are now hired as our guest.
All right.
Thank you.
I didn't like that other position that I was
I mean, the co-host. God, it's so confusing. Henry, you're the co-host.
Yes.
Yes.
So Matt, as a co-host,
yes,
meaning myself.
Yeah, that's you.
How would you say that your day's going?
Yeah.
See, I'm terrible. I'm going to get fired for real.
Yeah, that's not the kind of question. We just ask Henry, as the co-host, it might make sense right now, to ask Matt about his sizzle reel presentation, potentially a game show pilot.
So we just tried this idea.
Okay.
Yes.
Not my idea. I've just been brought in to be the potential host of this thing.
You're hired talent.
I'm a hired talent. Mm-hmm. So we played some... I don't know what the rules are on discussing shows in development, but we... It involved hidden camera footage and guessing and banter.
Right.
And it seemed to work.
Yeah, it has all the elements of successful things these days, like At Midnight and the Tosh.0.
I think
combined
so.
Combined together.
And just before that, I saw some vaginas.
Did you?
I did see some vaginas.
Was this at a strip joint?
No, I did...
Whole Foods?
It kind of Whole Foods. So I did a radio
Human
show,
vaginas?
An internet radio show, hosted and run by Ginger Lynn.
Oh yeah, do you remember her, Henry?
Porno star?
Yeah,
yeah. She's
one
a star
of
porno.
I assumed
Hall of Fame porno star.
They have a porno Hall of Fame?
They totally do. Yeah,
oh, I bet.
It's one of the industries where the older you get, the less desirable I think you get.
Yeah, well, that's
a
lot of industry.
But then I think you sort of get into legend status where...
She's like the Don Rickles of our business.
Although it wasn't her vagina I saw. It was...
Well, Don Rickles
really?
Is still funny.
He is, but he's...
I want to see it. Don Rickles played near LA recently.
Oh.
And some friends of mine went, and I sort of found out too late. I would have gone. I would love to see him live.
Be careful not to switch from vaginas to Don Rickles, because that'll lose every follower that we have. But... I just want to say I had the opportunity to see Frank Sinatra 20 years ago, and I was like, I don't think so. I think I'm going to go. I think I went to a Neil Diamond tribute instead. We were in Vegas.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Looking back, I probably should have seen Sinatra, right?
Since I just did exactly that with the Python show. I had the opportunity to go to the Monty Python reunion show.
Yeah.
And then some stuff came up, and I just dropped the ball on it, and I just didn't go.
But please tell me there was something dumb that you did. That way, 20 years from now, you can be like... I did. Not the Neil Diamond tribute, but whatever the current equivalent of
that would be. It's just, I can't think even, like, what a tribute to a lesser sketch show would be.
Yeah. Instead, I went to the...
A tribute to SNL season 4. Which season was it that was first
You
flopped?
Can't do that on television.
Yeah.
The grown-up years.
Any tribute to a sketch show.
There are, in Britain, I'm going to say, like, 5 or 6... tribute acts to well-known comedians.
Interesting. We don't have that, but I could see it working.
That's awful.
If they're good enough.
I've never seen any of the footage of any of them, but there's at least one Billy Connolly. There might be two.
And Billy Connolly's still around, for God's sake.
Oh, absolutely. But then again, the Rolling Stones are still around, and you can go and see Rolling Stones tribute acts.
Yeah, I guess
but
with music,
they only tour so often.
For some reason with comedy, it really bothers me when someone is doing an impression of a comedian that's still alive. Like, if someone was doing
Yeah, because there isn't the idea
Chris
of
Farley's.
Cover versions. Like, you never... Like, I'd never be in the middle of my set doing my material and then just go, I'm gonna do something a little bit different for you now. I'm just gonna do a joke by someone I'm a...
Now, that's a good question. Why does that not work? Because it should, on paper, it should work. If musicians can do it and everybody enjoys the material and they do it well and have their own different slant on it, we enjoy it.
Yeah, covers with music is just a thing, and with stand-up it's more idea-based and more sacred, so you just... I would be against someone doing someone else's jokes. I mean, Ron Schock, God bless his soul, used to do some Bill Hicks stuff on stage, and I know that he used to hang out with him and everything, but...
Did they know
did he announce it as Bill Hicks?
Not really. It was just kind of a tribute in his head, like, hey, I used to hang out with him. I started with him in Texas. Here's some of his bits with my little twist to them. There wasn't enough of a twist to make it his. And I noticed that, but I forgave him because, you know... He's an older guy.
I'm gonna express my naivete here, but who is the comedian who does a bit, or maybe they did a tweet, but it was great, and it's perfectly on topic, where he said, I write all my own material, everything I say is original, and if you don't agree, you can kiss my black ass.
Stuart Francis.
Yeah, he's a white guy.
He's a Canadian.
I should have started by saying he's a white guy, otherwise the joke makes no sense at all.
Otherwise it's just a black guy being angry at a false
assertion.
I'll tell you, wrongly accuse
me. It's a complete non-story, a non-sequitur. It just interrupts an interesting conversation.
I do know
but otherwise it's a joke if you know he's white.
The reason he wrote that joke, though, is a... He caught a black comic stealing his material.
Oh, that's funny. See, that's even better.
He's a Canadian comic, but he's based in the UK for a large amount of the time. And he was in...
Oh, he's the
Scotland.
One-liner guy, right?
Yeah,
classic
really
one-liners.
Good one-liners.
Oh,
he's a great one-liner writer. And he was in Scotland. I can't remember why he was there. He was doing some other show, or for whatever reason... He popped into this comedy club and was at the back of the room and saw someone do his material. He told me about this several years later when we worked together.
Yeah, it's very rare that a comic... It happens all the time. But to actually catch them would be... That's like watching.
And the way Stuart tells it, he went into the green room afterwards and the guy went, "Oh, Stuart, I didn't know you were here." And he said, "Evidently."
Ah, that's great. That's so great.
A one-word dart.
So the guy clearly knew that he was doing his material.
I don't know, but yeah.
Oh, that's so great. It would feel so good. Like, any time I've been robbed or my car's been, broken into, I always think of how satisfying it would be to just casually catch that person, like, as they're in your car.
If it was something
funny.
Like that, though, I don't know, I wouldn't...
And just say, evidently.
I'm not... no, that doesn't work in that... You need him to say the...
I just would love
evidently!
To have, when somebody's stealing my stuff,
work.
I would love to have that one word that just gets everybody, you know?
Henry, that word doesn't work if he hasn't done the... evidently! Henry knows!
Have you ever had that? I had that when I was telling that story, where you're in the middle of telling the joke, and you realize you forgot an important part, and you have that choice of, do I... finish it, or do I stop and say, wait, hold on, let me go back and give you an important premise? I went with just finish it and then go backwards. It was awkward.
Or just finish it and just say it with confidence and see if they laugh anyway.
Well, it's like my friend's mom was trying to tell me, there's an old joke about Michael Jackson. Why did Michael Jackson shop at Kmart? Because little kids' underwear was half off.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So she was trying to tell me the joke that I already knew, but she said it's because little kids' underwear was half price.
Oh.
And I'm like, so she thinks the joke is that just that he likes to buy little kids' underwear and he wants it for cheaper.
Yeah. Yes.
But he's extremely wealthy. He could definitely afford it.
Yeah. So it's wrong on so many levels.
There's a thing about Michael Jackson. He enjoys small underwear and a bargain.
Yeah. That's what she thought was funny about it.
But a pedophile he is not. Is he guilty of finding good deals and occasionally huffing undergarments?
Maybe, absolutely. Maybe he had a nephew or a niece that he was buying underwear for, and he's kind of a cheapskate even though he has all that money.
Yeah, exactly. And he just likes bunk beds.
Yeah.
All right, we're taking Matt Kirshen to the airport. LAX. Are you feeling okay about the time? It is a tight.
Oh, wait, no, we're golden. We're fine.
I have Waze. Waze, where we can.
No, I think we're fine. I mean, this road just goes straight to the airport.
Oh, Waze is a sponsor.
Yeah, but I am almost out of battery.
Oh, okay.
I guess you could say I'm having an out of battery experience.
Well,
you could say that.
I wish you would keep saying it. Mine, if you hold my hand here momentarily, actually, that doesn't have to be part of it. I'm holding the recharger, it's sitting there on the console. Henry, I'm talking to you.
You
can plug in your phone.
Oh, and, no, but I have a different...
Nuts. Well, I'll just put it where I found it.
I have a different thing.
Loosely nuzzled in my crotch area, not connected to anything.
Yeah.
Where are you going, Matt? We're taking you out.
I'm going to Atlanta.
Why did I think you were going to London? Is it because I'm racist?
You might have thought that because I'm going to London next week.
And we had kind of loosely scheduled it. Yes, okay.
And you might have also thought that because I'm from London.
Right, exactly.
So that's a place that I often go to.
What is the difference? When you say Britain,
yeah.
How is that different from United Kingdom?
Okay, here's the deal.
Okay.
So...
Or the UK.
Yeah, so...
Or Great Britain.
Great Britain is...
Yes.
England... Scotland for the moment, or they're about to have a vote that might change that.
It is Scotland for the moment.
Yeah, so
okay.
So Great Britain is England, Scotland, and Wales. And then when you add Northern Ireland in as well, it's the United Kingdom.
So it's an Ireland thing.
Once they added the Northern Ireland bit, it becomes the United Kingdom. And I only really knew that for sure because my passport says on it the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, well, that's the maths equation. That's how you work that out. And then the British Isles is just the landmass, the whole collection of isles.
Sure.
So the British Isles would include the country of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland.
Okay.
Which is a separate country completely in its own right. Like, it's... as separate as Britain is.
Do I sound dumb for not knowing this? Or sounds like it's...
I've been asked this question many times. Oh, a lot of people
don't know. Obvious question. So what about Southern Ireland? Do you just call that Ireland?
Yeah, so that's the Republic of Ireland.
Okay.
Everything below that border.
Because when we were on the tour bus to Ireland from England...
Henry, you do a lot of those tour buses, don't you?
Yeah.
Old people and
I'm
stuff.
Kidding, because I don't think you can do that.
No.
Okay, now what about... There's a lot of people that get offended when you say you were in England. Or are you English? People that are English, that's just England. Is that Wales also or no?
No. Okay. So if you call a Welsh person or a Scottish person English...
You might as well spit in their face.
They get very upset about it.
You're going to get a knuckle
sandwich. They get upset kind of in the way Canadians get when you call them American.
Do people do that?
But with the added...
I didn't know anybody ever called Canadians Americans.
Right.
Not without knowing they're Canadians, but like...
Oh, I see. Just by judging them based on...
Where in America are you from? I'm from Canada.
Oh, I understand that, yeah. I was thinking that if you knew somebody was Canadian and you called them American, but that would be absurd.
Well, I think that does happen as well. I bet that happens outside of the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
Outside of the Americas.
Yeah, I don't...
Well, John Doerr told me that when he was at a bar...
Canadian, John
in the UK somewhere, I don't know how, but somehow she determined that he was Canadian, and then she said, I'm glad you're Canadian, because I hate Americans.
Oh, wow.
And it bothered him so much that he actually said, I'm American. Like, he actually just wanted to be American, just to be, you know...
Good for him.
Yeah, no, he just is against... bigotry of any sort, so he just thought, you know, fuck you. But I feel like, Chris, I think you would do the same thing for some reason.
Yeah, I love Canada.
I'd be like, who do you not like? Because I'll be that.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I
want to be the person that you don't like.
You know me, Henry. I love all parts of the globe and the people from it.
Oh, I guess I don't know you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know.
No, I do too.
Yeah, me too. Matt, you're the same, right?
Except for, I don't really like Russia.
I just want to make it weird.
You lived on Santa Monica Boulevard and Kherson.
Right.
And you used to tell great stories about how you... the grumpy people.
Just trying my best to befriend elderly, grumpy Russian women. Trying my best. Can I grab your groceries? And to be fair, I was actually grabbing their groceries.
You need to ask.
Yeah, and you don't... You shouldn't
run. Yeah, because it does just look... Yeah.
You shouldn't run after
no.
grabbing them.
And you're like, I was just helping you get your groceries where they needed to be quicker.
Henry, do you know... I wish you had one job other than co-hosting.
Yeah.
And it was to help navigate.
Oh, yeah, go to La Tijera.
Ah, La Tijera. Where's
that?
Which
I think is the end of this stretch. Oh,
okay.
You'll see it coming
up. I'll just
up.
Keep going.
Yeah, we're actually not very far at all. We'll be there certainly by 9:30.
If you're not nervous about your flight...
Oh, my flight is at 9:30.
I'm not nervous about his flight at
but
all.
But I'm not nervous.
Okay,
my flight's at 9:30. It's currently 8:35, assuming you're...
Yeah, we're about
10
minutes away.
Yes, yes.
And we're...
You already have your boarding pass.
I've already checked in. I'm only taking carry-on.
Yeah, it's... And it's a good time to fly. Everything's in our favor.
I think it'd be funny to have a carry-on, but it's just a honey-baked ham, uncovered.
And then just be very adamant that it is fully within the...
Yeah, I can check this. Keep offering that you can check it. Oh, is this La Tijera?
Nope.
Nah, this is Fairview. I often take that. I'm incorrect.
Well,
that is not what I take.
We're going
to
do waves.
Here we go, La Tijera.
Completely certain. All right.
But I think it's fairly well signposted.
So you're going to Atlanta. Explain that. You've been very secretive, Matt, about your dealings in Atlanta. Do you want to keep that a secret?
There's nothing particularly secret. It's mostly a social visit, but I'm fitting in a gig.
Oh, sweet. Are you going to do the old Laughing Skull?
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
and I've never gigged there before.
Well, I have, and then the guy won't have me back. He says I'm not a big enough name, and then I look at the schedule. And there's a lot of just my peers on there.
I wonder, I've talked to Henry about this before. I wonder whether I did the Funny Farm, which is the previous incarnation.
Didn't the roof, you blew the roof off that place, didn't
No,
you,
I
Henry?
Did the improv last year. That the tornado came and
the
blew
tornado,
the roof off.
Henry was going to do the club there, and the tornado actually ripped the roof
off. While I was out there in the front, and it just ripped off the awning. But, yeah, that was terrible. But, you know, I would have liked to have done the Laughing Skull because it's got more of a hip thing. The improv, I think, pays more.
Well,
but,
he sent me a message that said, hey, I'd love to just pay $900 to every one of my friends that's cool to hang out with, but I can't afford that. And I was like, oh, well, we're in agreement because I can't go anywhere for $900.
You're already undercutting me while rejecting.
Yeah, he did like it. And so now my goal is to just find the closest place... and just sell out a theater. But I think, Matt, you're going to do great there, and he loves you, and I think that you guys should maintain a solid relationship.
Well, here's the thing. I gigged for him when it was the Funny Farm, and then there was a businessy awkward thing where there was a confusion about the money, which is never nice. You know, when you, like, you thought it was one amount, he thought it was another amount. And anyway, I wonder whether that was a little Burning Bridges moment, or whether he didn't even remember that, and he just didn't want to book me back.
Right.
But he's definitely... I've approached him and got little in the way of reply. And he's not going to be there to talk to tomorrow because he is in Montreal.
Yeah, when I was doing my week there, he was not around. And
I got along with him really well. I've just never been back, and it's like...
Yeah,
well,
I mean, we got on great. Like, I did two weekends with him. It was the first place I ever headlined in America, the Funny Farm. The first, when I was fresh off Last Comic Standing... And it was really enjoyable. Like, that's where I learned how to headline, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And it was.
We
it
live
went
in an
well.
Odd era now, and I think I'm starting to learn this. It's like, you can be famous. Anybody who's seen my movie thinks that I'm famous, and everybody else has no idea. So I'm just saying, like, you can be famous to just a small subset of people.
Right.
So you might not be famous to him, but you could be way more famous than the people that he's booking, but they're famous to him because he listens to certain podcasts.
Yeah. It's funny that a lot of well-known comics are not famous to comedy clubs because they don't know where to look anymore. Yeah.
Well, here's an example. I was helping with Setlist, the UK version of the TV show.
Uh-huh.
And... You were looking at the guy who has no lights on?
No, I'm just wondering.
By the way, 1.5 miles, and then you make a left on Sepulveda.
Sepulveda, thank you.
And one of the people we were suggesting to the UK...
Now I'm looking at the guy with no headlights on.
When we were looking at... We were talking to the UK production company people. One of the names we brought up to try and pitched to them was Russell Peters, and trying to explain to them that he is the most famous comedian in the world.
Yeah.
I know you haven't heard of him, but he is the most famous comedian in
right.
the world.
That's possible.
Isn't
in this day
that
and age.
Funny?
Which is probably true. If you think about the number of fans he has across everywhere in Asia, plus all the fans in the UK and US and Canada and wherever.
I remember being with a club owner in LA, and it was at this bar, the Coronet, and he didn't want... I was about to say, hey, you know, that's Russell Peters, you know, he's a comic. And it was a couple years ago, whatever, but this guy was like, he didn't seem interested in meeting him. And then when Russell Peters was there with a bunch of people and then he left, and then this guy said, well, I don't like meeting comics because then the next thing you know, they asked me how they can get in my club. And I'm like, at this time, he was doing, what, several thousand seat theaters.
Oh, that's so funny.
He's not trying to get into your dumb club and, you know, whatever, Missouri or wherever we were.
Oh, that's but, so
that's really
great.
Funny.
It's just, you know.
Yeah, they have no idea. Like, he sold out the O2 Arena for two nights in the UK on the back of pretty much a tweet. Like, it's
oh,
just,
wow.
Like, they did no publicity.
How did
but
he...
But no one knows who he is.
How did he get wildly... I kind of... It's a mystery to me. How
social media and...
YouTube. He had these YouTube specials
yeah,
on there people
here's
would
watch. Here's what I heard happened. And I haven't had it backed up, but it's... I think it's not particularly defamatory, so I don't think it's libelous if it's slightly inaccurate. But my understanding is his brother, who I think manages him, or certainly helps out with stuff, is
sure.
is a like a marketing guru. And they took his Comedy Now special, or whatever Canada's version is of a Comedy
About,
Central special,
yeah,
sure.
divided it into chunks, put it on YouTube, and then got
Blast.
Students to actually go on to... all of the different Asian community message boards and
sure.
chat rooms and everything and just spread the word about this guy and these clips and link to it.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
he went... And then... And that started to build up its own momentum as people watched it and they liked it and it steamrolled and it...
And
it
for anybody who thinks it's all about marketing, I just want to point out that that would not work...
Nowadays?
If it was... No, if it was crap.
Oh,
if
right,
if they didn't
right.
like it, they wouldn't share it. But
sure. Yeah,
you
which
have
is
to
what,
have a combination of both.
Right.
Yeah, something about his... Something about what he was doing... Like, they... The
but
brother got,
the
got it
out
there, and something about what he was doing struck a chord with that... Particularly with that community, and initially with the Indian community, and then it just spread to other communities.
So I think it's coming up.
Are we... So are we discussing...
No, still straight.
Are we discussing...
Is this Sepulveda?
Yeah,
this is Sepulveda,
yes,
but
it is. Are we discussing something that we all know we should be doing then, and we're just not
Well,
doing
we
it?
Should at least be getting the word out to people.
Yeah, I don't...
you know.
I don't do that.
Yeah, neither do I. I drink.
It always amazes me when people are really good at that kind of thing.
Yeah, I wish I was good at that thing.
Well, in that case, like in the case we're talking about, the comedian isn't the guy who's good at it. It's another
no,
partner.
No, it was the brother.
Right,
who's
right.
good at it, you know, so... And there's often situations... Like I think a lot of credit to Weird Al's success should also go to his manager that I met years ago and was a fascinating guy to just talk to for a second. He... I can't remember his name, but... say Jay, but he's a genius, and he's just he was able to figure out how to do a lot of things that people don't.
Would you say that Jay stands for genius, or would you not say that? Because
yeah, Jay isn't genius.
Yeah, because it's a G word. I guess you wouldn't.
Unfortunately, he's way too successful to be listening to me right now. So, or maybe he does. I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
that's part of his genius.
Successful people don't listen to anything.
Yeah,
certainly not podcasting.
He's probably listening to like. NPR. Yeah, so Veer right. Well, now you know where you are.
Yeah, now I know. Now it's very clear. I like what this guy's doing. He's just walking away from his flight.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to do that? Just
yeah.
pull
just,
a...
Just like I've had it.
Just pull a falling down and be like, you know what? I don't care about taxis.
I'm just going to point in one direction and keep on walking.
I'm walking away from the airport. That's always a sad...
For those listening, we saw a guy walking away from the airport.
And
yeah.
He was doing the double rucksack as well. He was doing the backpack and the front pack.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he was David Banner, but going from town to town.
It really looked a bit like that.
You don't want to see me angry. I say this in every town I visit, and then I become a monster, and then I have to go to the next town.
If someone said to you, don't make me angry, that's such a dick move. I think I'd start winding that guy up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I really don't think...
Wait, what was the phrase you used?
If they went, don't make me angry,
You would start...
I'd start winding the guy up. I think it's such a dickish thing to say. So it's US Airways.
I thought you said whining, like you're whining and dining. Like
oh, yeah, yeah. As well.
I'd get him drunk. See if I could say, hey, you want to fight or fuck? Get him drunk and
no,
see.
No, yeah, don't make me angry. Yeah.
Now, here's a question. It is 45 minutes to my flight.
Yes.
I left my Kindle on a British Airways flight last week, and it's currently in the British Airways Lost and Found.
Do you want to try and do that?
Do you reckon I'm trying to work out...
You know, I...
What do you think is another terrified. Season?
It looks like we have a parking lot of cars in front of us.
Yeah.
How close is your terminal to that?
Which terminal is
but
your
are you really not worried? Because it's... If your flight leaves at 9:30, you should at least
I will get it on the way back. I do like adventure.
Like, especially...
And what you're saying is very adventurous.
Which terminal are you?
Whatever US Air is. I don't normally fly US, so I'm not sure what number.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll go straight to security
I wouldn't
now.
Go get that Kindle just yet.
That is... You're correct. Thank you for talking me out of my foolishness.
But no.
It's going to add at least, it's gonna add at least 10 minutes.
I had to mull it over. I was like, that's not a half bad idea. And then I looked at the time.
It's a terrible idea.
Hey, don't do that. Come on.
Terrible idea.
I don't care if you have a commercial driver's license. You guys, it's at LAX that I become very aggressive.
Okay.
This is the worst. I've traveled a lot.
For US Airways.
I'm keeping a lookout for it.
I always look on the left because they've got a list.
They've got those slip rows. I think...
For the people listening, this is getting stressful. We're in a
I feel like
lot. It looks like a Judas Priest concert.
It does. It really Not looks now. Like that movie Heavy Metal parking lot,
which I only saw for the first time recently.
Isn't it a terrific thing?
It's fun.
Am I going to say the just over and over and over? You're damn right,
so.
I am.
Well,
I like the Insane Clown Posse version. The what's that called? The Juggalo.
Oh, U.S. Airways. Terminal 3.
Terminal 3.
Yeah, it's called U.S. Airways: the Juggalo Party. Oh, yeah.
Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah, the Gathering of the Juggalos.
They should do Judas Priest Parking Lot 2014.
Have you ever seen...
See how many people are in the parking lot.
Now, I just heard you all go, there it is, U.S. Airways.
No, it's number three. Terminal 3. I saw the listing for it.
Have you ever seen Judas Priest live?
No, I haven't. They were one of the ones I missed, and I was really bummed out about it.
I've heard they put on a ridiculous show,
even to this day. Well, I've seen their live concerts televised, and they were amazing. There was Electric Eye. That's just unbelievable. Lasers. They had stacks of Marshall amps that apparently were all props.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like all you really need is one amp. It doesn't get louder.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah,
that's a good point. What is it?
They visually it was make all it visual. Louder by
because the amp just gives the kind of tone, right?
Yeah,
the
and it's usually mic'd, and there's a guy mixing it. But they had wallpaper of Marshall stacks just to look like they were the loudest ones. But it was all visual. They were
that's
empty cabinets.
Terrific.
Yeah,
I love it.
And it was great advertising for Marshall.
Which, of course, that was their intention. Judas Priest is a big fan of Marshall amps.
I don't know much about acoustics, but I wonder if 20 Marshall amps at 10 is louder than one.
I don't know much about acoustics. Everything I know about acoustics I learned about by recording this podcast, and a little bit in kindergarten. Look, they're happy to be home. You're no son of mine. See, I could see him saying that, but he wasn't.
You can take a slip.
Slip
down the right hand side.
I wonder if you just got off, you'd probably beat us.
Yeah,
there.
I reckon if you just start edging forward along here.
Yeah, because
and then,
two turns into
three. I'm doing it. This is what they call a dick move.
No, because you're about to park up on three just there. So I don't think you're being that much of a dick.
All right. Well, I'd like to monitor at which level I'm being a dick. I am going to be a dick.
Do all your podcasts end in frustration or begin in frustration, depending on which way they're coming? Because LAX is the worst airport in the world.
It is.
I would think that there's a whole different energy on the way back.
Every time I come to LAX, I'm filled with rage. Every time I leave it, I get progressively more
this
happy.
Is Terminal 3.
Here we go. JetBlue.
I have traveled
a
lot.
Leap. God, she has a nice sweater.
You have 40
Just
minutes.
Leaping into the street.
I should probably go straight to security then, right?
I would say at this point you're done.
I'd say that's definitely the right thing to do.
Yes.
In which case, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for
having
me.
Yeah, it was great, man.
I want you to have a good time in Atlanta. And
I wish we could have talked more.
Yeah.
Well, Henry, would you do me the honor of when Matt gets out, will you become the guest again?
Yeah, let's do that.
So,
I didn't care who I was talking
Matt,
to.
Matt, I'm releasing you from your duties of being
Thank
a guest.
Thank you so much. Right. I'm going to grab my stuff
Thank
from
you
the
very
back,
much.
And I will pass this mic over to Henry.
I will put it in my crotch area.
Can I plug Probably Science, my podcast?
Oh, of course. Hey,
yeah,
do you have any
to,
plugs?
Probably Science, and find me on Twitter at Matt Kirshen. But Probably Science is the podcast.
Perfect. Probably Science, hopefully a podcast I will do soon. Right now, Henry and Matt are switching, they are switching seats, and I'm alone for the time being. Boy, a lot of people going to and fro, wishing each other bon voyage. I can tell by watching most of them, they're not that comfortable with their emotions, you know, expressing love. Those guys should have hugged, but they work together. Oh, Henry, hello. If you don't mind talking into this microphone.
We almost did hug. He went in for the hug. I don't know. I cut him off because I didn't know we were doing that.
See, that was lunacy. Do you remember him saying? Of course you remember. Going what? To grab the Kindle, we would have had to go to international travel.
He is a low-stress guy.
Yeah, he's really relaxed.
I'm about to have a heart attack, and I don't even need to be anywhere till August 2nd.
Well, that's good, because that gives you more time to recover for your heart attack.
Well, yeah, I need to be at the...
These people are
at the Velveeta Room for my two shows Saturday night, August 2nd.
Oh, yeah, well, usually, Henry, we plug at the
oh,
end.
Oh, I'm sorry, no, yeah, it sort of naturally came up in conversation
really.
So
you
easily.
You brought it up.
Felt like it was organic, it just sort of like, hey.
Conversationally, that would lend itself to us both talking about, you were just kind of, did your credits.
I just sort of jumped into it.
Speaking of credits.
Yeah.
Last night you were on Drunk History.
That's right. I'm still hungover, even though I taped it 9 months ago.
You were cartoonishly drunk.
Yes.
And very delight. But so funny.
I've
were having
a lot
so
of
much
comments.
Fun.
I've had some odd comments all the way from people complimenting me because they said that they liked, in the earlier ones, people were more legitimately drunk, but once they went on Comedy Central, there's a couple things that happened. The stakes are higher. There's some legal things involved,
right,
or whatever. So, and then also you get some celebrities that don't necessarily want to be drunk, which defeats the purpose.
But you went into it with some concerns, weren't you?
Well, but I'm a fan of the show anyway, but I was like, no, I'm going to be very drunk. Yeah. I was definitely a little nervous because you're out of control, you know? You're just like, whatever. And but I was like, we're doing this, and so...
Your story
was
great.
Fine. But I also had people saying, I had one person, I'm not going to say who it was, a lady who said, you know, just because it's called Drunk History doesn't mean you have to get drunk.
Wow, is she wrong?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Does that mean you also don't have to talk about history?
Yeah,
since
no.
Since you're making up the rules? Who is this?
Yeah, I'm not going to say.
Who is it? But, I'll say it.
It was a really rude thing. It's somebody, there's always people trying to peep on your poop hole.
Who's, well, that's unsanitary and painful.
Well, we were exes.
Oh, okay.
No,
All right. Who was that? Oh, you have to tell me afterwards. tune into the next episode where I reveal who said that about Henry's drunk history. He won't let me do it right now.
But yeah, I've had a lot of fun things. Well, Doug Stanhope just tweeted today that he was as drunk as Henry Phillips on Drunk History, watching Henry Phillips with Henry Phillips, because his dog's name is Henry Phillips.
Oh, okay. So his was like a riddle that even now I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
And nobody understood it except for people that know Doug well enough to know that that's his dog's name.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Have I met that dog when I was at their...
I'm pretty sure you did. Yeah, there's two dogs.
I remember a lot of dogs. I remember going out to Stanhope's in the middle of nowhere and...
Oh, I know they had Henry Phillips
by then. Picking up a large desert frog and holding it and him leaping out of my... Incidentally, before that, we drank some mushroom tea. That's something that you didn't. You didn't have mushroom tea.
No.
I did.
I think that he's gotten so used to saying Henry Phillips as the dog, as normally happens, that it is funny. There's a lot of confusion. As a matter of fact, he was on Stern not too long ago, and Bingo said Henry Phillips, and I think she was talking about the dog, and then he started talking about me, and it was confusing.
Oh, that's funny. And she didn't put two and two together. Oh, yeah, there's the human also that we named our dog after. I forgot.
Well, no, I understand that, though, because after years of... Like, they don't see me. They see me once a year or whatever.
They don't feed you and pull yarn that you've swallowed from your ass.
Only when
I'm
there.
That's a really graphic example. But they do that when you're there.
When I'm there, yeah. But yeah. That's once a year.
Are you still eating out of their bathroom garbage a lot?
At the Super Bowl parties.
Did I ever tell you, Henry, about the time I lived in my dad's basement? And I would occasionally bring girls there, which is already weird when you're college-aged, but it was cheap to live in my dad's basement. And one time, you know, I would throw away condoms when I used to use condoms back then, and I don't use them anymore. That was a joke. Anyway, the dog, they had a dog that went, obviously, this shitty dog would always eat out of my trash, like clean it. I'd blow my nose. Or my grandma was over one morning, we were all having breakfast, and the dog came up, and one of my condoms was hanging from the dog's ass, and she
God,
and I saw it, and I was like, oh, come here, Sammy, or whatever the dog's name was, Shasta. And my that, grandma that means... saw it. She's like, oh, excuse me, there's something hanging, and she pulled the condom out of the dog's ass and held it up.
This
and
is awful.
Yeah, it was awful. It was a thing that happened, and I just everyone knew what it was. She knew what it was once she grabbed it,
but now she has to commit at this point.
Yeah, well, she had to go, oh, what? Yeah, and I had to come up with some...
We all have to commit.
I think I came up with the excuse that the dog was a drug mule and that maybe he was smuggling heroin. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was that's the only way you could
go
with
that.
No,
that's a great... Yeah. And it's like, well, it's a good thing it didn't burst inside of him like happens to so many.
So back to drunk history. When you were... Did you... They assign you a story? Did they say it?
They give you about 7 or 8 stories, and you pick which one that you want to do. And I wanted to pick not only one that had to do with music, but also I wanted to pick a stuffy history, an era of history that you would study in high school. That's just that academic kind of boring stuff, because that's what's supposed to clash up against the being drunk part.
Right.
Like, it's not, I don't know, to me, a drunk guy talking about something that happened in the last 10 years is just not, that irony.
I think something, and maybe it's because you used to tutor high school kids and you're a smart person, yours had something that I think most of them don't have, which is an easy to follow, you're actually giving information in a story. I actually learned real things from yours. The comedy came from you. Falling over.
Yeah, and I think that's what they want.
Yeah. It was great, but I learned from it. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, no, I researched it a lot, and then they have sort of a historical expert that works for the show that
do
some talk back. Yeah, you read you recite your version of the story back to them several times. They want to make sure there is no date that is wrong there. No names, no dates. And that's one of the reasons that I kept on laughing.
Why did they... Oh, yeah, you were giggling.
I kept on saying Mr. Beans, and it was supposed to be Dr. Beans, but I kept on saying Mr. Beans. And
because
just,
of Rowan Atkinson's?
Yeah, just picturing Mr. Bean just made me laugh, and I couldn't stop laughing. And so you just see me laughing, but you don't really know exactly why.
I didn't know why you were laughing. I thought...
Well, and also I'm picturing them... Okay, then once I started laughing, then I was picturing the guy who's acting it out, because of course I know the show, so I'm picturing the guy acting it out laughing, and then now I'm laughing at that.
Oh, right.
So I'm already laughing at loops of things, you know.
And they did do that.
Oh, yeah, Century Boulevard is what you want.
Okay.
Oh, we're going back to the airport, I think.
No, I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
So that was so great. Oh, yeah, they had the best versions of you cracking up and them making that part of the dialogue. I really had.
Yeah, no,
you were
great.
Pageant, the everyone in your episode was really great.
It was fun.
Duncan Trussell, that was a really good one.
Yeah, it's a great show. Derek's an awesome dude. So there's gonna be, I think there's this particular route that Waze is telling us that we should take.
Yeah, we don't need that shit.
Well, you know, Obama's in town, so it could be an hour of waiting needlessly.
Well, for now, let's go to my place, and we'll there's some leftover 4th of July beers. We'll just crack open a brew and just be a couple guys that could have been extras on Cheers sitting at the bar. Incidentally, Henry's father was on Cheers once.
That is right.
Tours of Boston. Oh, okay, I'm going to do this. boy, it is. I don't know what I was thinking when I thought, let's have a podcast that ends angrily at LAX. but that is what I decided to do.
Yeah, no, that's quite all right.
What do you have coming up, Henry?
I've got,
no, just Austin, emotionally, Texas. What's coming up for you? Just,
let's see. I know, I'm feeling great. Actually, I'm feeling really good lately.
When are you going to Austin, Texas, then?
That's going to be the 2nd. I'm going to do a show with Mike McRae over August at the Velveeta 2nd. Room.
We're doing two shows. Oh, that'll be great.
McRae. Yeah.
He's
it's
terrific.
It's
going to
be terrific. I can't wait.
I was talking to... why wasn't McRae or James Adome... There's so many people that are amazing at impressions that are funny comedians also that should be on Saturday Night Live. And I'm starting to think that it's such a bad show now that they just start deciding not to do it. Friends, okay, this is getting ridiculous.
There we go.
Come on. Yeah. God, people don't know how to merge.
Yeah. Either of those guys would be great. Are there any good impressionists on there now?
I do not. I could not finger a single.
Well, I didn't ask you to do that.
One of them in a lineup. I would not. If someone said, "Hey, you can finger anyone that is on Saturday Night Live right now," I would not be fingering anyone because I do not.
I might have. I might have some of them finger me.
Well, I mean, it's good for your career
and for your colon.
I got fingered all the way to the top of Hollywood. it is great. That's every time I've gone to a proctologist, he stuck his finger in my ass, and then I finally went into the examining room, and I don't know. There was the makings of an old classic.
No, I like that. What's the one about my buddy Mark Cohen's got so many of those. Damn, I can't remember any of them. But there's the one about the guy who goes in there, and they're like, "Okay, sir, we're gonna need a sperm sample, and a urine sample, and a stool sample." And a blood sample.
Jesus, that guy's sick.
And he's like, "Well, all right. Well, let me just give you my underwear." But you know what? It occurred to me. I don't think blood sample was part of the joke. I think this guy's got blood on his underwear. That doesn't make sense.
We're also gonna need a sample of your grass that you have.
Yeah.
We're gonna need some bacteria. This guy just has everything. We're going to need a sample of the new Spoon album. It's just all on his underwear.
We're going to need some samples from some early 60s kind of
just some
hits.
Some drum samples.
Yeah.
From early...
Can you give us a drum sample? Well, my friend Evan always had this great story.
Saw Evan the other day.
Evan
right
Arnold.
Before I booked Henry. Booked a Skippy's.
Oh, you booked it?
Yeah, I booked
it. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to be a voice in an animated peanut situation.
Dude, you didn't tell me that. That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, I'll certainly pay off this Honda. Get the air conditioning fixed.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. It's so
it's hot.
It's really hot in here.
So anyway, so Evan, years ago...
Evan Arnold.
Yeah, was...
Formerly of Growing Pains.
So Evan was...
As a kid.
On... And this is in his early days. Now he's married with children.
Is this a story about
like
him saying the wrong thing at the wrong time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he does. He had had interactions with a lady.
Uh-huh.
And a few days later, he noticed something that looked peculiar in his genital area.
Sure.
And
a blemish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he went in there, and he was extremely depressed because he was just assuming. He's like, "Oh, I've got one of these damn diseases that I'm probably going to have forever." And he went in there, and there was this beautiful girl behind the counter at the doctor's office and the dermatologist or whatever you go to. And she was like... And when he's talking to her, he was like... This is the kind of girl I should have been with, not these nasty girls that I'm going
out
with.
Were his genitals out at this point?
No.
Oh, okay.
He just walked into this doctor's office, but he just kind of fell in love with this girl behind the counter and started longing for a different choice that he could have made with his life, whatever, I don't know.
And this, he was already... Oh,
yeah,
right.
And I might be embellishing, but anyway,
sure.
He was depressed, but he went back into one of the examining rooms and sat there for a while, and he was there for a very long time, and all of a sudden that same girl came back and opened the door and said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he goes, I have some kind of a pustule or some kind of a pimple or something that looks like it could be bad on my penis, like on the shaft part of my penis." And she was like, "Well, no, that's for the doctor, but what are you doing in room A? I told you that you should be in room C, which is in the back."
Oh, he didn't even have to give
that information.
He could have started a life.
Yeah, but then she's like, "Oh, well, you clearly hang around with tramps."
Oh, God, she was an older woman then.
Yeah, she used the word tramps.
Yeah, she's the elderly, 1920. You used to hang out with roustabouts.
Yeah.
And men with Tommy guns.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, so it was a missed opportunity of sorts. But,
Well, you know, in my act, it was the same situation, and then the doctor said, "That's a burn," and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yours was from a match or something.
Yeah, that very much happened.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it burnt my penis. I think I was very drunk. But you never know. If anything is in your bathing suit area, other than a bathing suit or underwear, I've gone in to Planned Parenthood because of ingrown hairs. Welcome back to medical talk.
No, I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to bring everyone
back. I had a time that I was trying to put this bathing suit on, and it was so small that it was...
This seems made up. Is this the
No,
beginning?
No, this is totally
okay.
True.
Okay. And it wasn't your bathing suit then? You were just trying to put it...
I was at a friend's place, uh-huh. And she was going to...
take pictures of you.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's actually... Anything that I could make up at this point is better than the real story. But no, she was like, "Yeah, you should try these on." And so I was putting them on, and they were so small that I remember thinking, it would be funny just comedically to walk out to the pool with this, just like as if nothing... It's like the thing's riding up my ass, and then you can see my balls and everything. But instead, I was just like, "All right, that didn't work." I took them off.
You didn't
and,
sweat?
No, I'm trying to remember how that story ended. Sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then I gave it to the girl, and she threw them away.
Oh, she threw them away because you tainted them?
Yeah. Literally? That's exactly what happened.
Oh,
I tainted her underwear. Well, and then I... She had me fingered.
She'd fingered you for some of the clean undercarriage.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's... Well, do you think... Is there any possibility that she looked at them and you had left, like, some sort
of... No, I just told her what happened.
Markings?
I said, like, this thing...
Spotting?
Was almost 100% up my ass and it wasn't working. And she's like, "All right, well, it's not like I'm going to be giving this to the next guy who wants to try on underwear."
Oh, wow.
But that happens.
Is that a romantic situation?
It was going to be. Did I ever tell you this one? This one's a classic. I had gotten off a... I had gotten off the road from about 18 hours straight of a bad travel day. Like, I was laid over, and then they put me in some crappy hotel in Indianapolis because I had a delayed flight. And then the next morning, I almost missed my flight, but I got on last minute, and then I had a layover in Chicago, and it was just like everything was a nightmare. And I finally get to L.A., and I get... in the cab, get to my place, go right to the car, start driving to this place called Gallagher's, which is a couple hours south.
No relation.
Through traffic. This is a pub where they
no
were doing comedy.
No relation to the neoconservative
that guy.
Fruit smasher.
No, and so did the show. Afterwards, start talking to a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And... we were like, "Let's party." And she was like, "Yeah." And so we went to her place, which is around the corner.
Ooh, that kind of partying.
Yeah.
I thought you just meant nose candy.
Yeah, no, we were...
You both
we
had
were
boners.
Even, kissing at one point
oh,
on the
wow.
couch. Yeah.
Tongue? Wow.
So, and then what happens is she says to me while we're kissing, she goes, "Do you want to take a shower?" And I was like, "Well, hell yeah." And then she goes, okay, well, towels are over here, and there's soaps and shampoos and all that stuff.
You can be my guest. Wait, so you stank or something?
I guess. I guess that she, I thought she was saying we should both go in there and take a shower together.
Oh, that's terrific.
Turns out she just wanted me to take a shower because I must have been just dirty.
Just sweaty and...
Yeah. And so I said, well, no, I don't want to take a shower by myself. Who the f*** does that?
I never do that. I always have... That's why I... I'm often unclean because there's no one around. And so, because I refuse to shower alone. It's a,
yeah.
I get scared because of the movie Psycho.
I actually have a race in my house right now to what gets used up faster, my almond butter or my soap.
And what do you do with almond butter?
I do these, I put it on my toast or on my apples.
You just put it on...
I'm curious. I'll bet the almond butter will be gone way before the soap.
Why did you decide they're in different rooms, for one?
It's just like when you live alone and you're self-employed, you come up with random races with your household items. And that was one that I thought I might try.
And the
I'm also crazy.
The art of doing that, the art of that craziness is called racism. If I, my dad once, and I remember he came, it was very funny but also sad, he bought this mustard at Costco. It was a giant gallon jug of mustard. And he said, yeah, this is probably going to be the last mustard I ever buy. And I laughed just because it was so much mustard, but he still has it. And, you know, it's kind of sad. What if it is? What if it is?
Oh, man.
I'll think of that joke and then, you
but
know.
But it couldn't be.
It couldn't be. I mean, hopefully... Oh, you know what? I'm going to visit him. I'm going to throw away that mustard.
Yeah, yeah. Throw that away because that's bad energy.
Yeah, it is bad.
Just the fact that he said that, it's like a jinx.
It was a funny joke, I suppose.
Oh, no. It's very funny on his part, but to actually think it might happen is scary. I have no idea where we are.
We're at my... Look, we're ended up right at my beach house.
Oh, we're here. Wow. I guess I get disoriented in this.
Incidentally, it is my only... It's an apartment. It is kind of... Oh, well, look at this. A lot of times in L.A., you never know when a street is going to be cartoonishly blocked off.
Yeah, just
what
for no reason.
What the fuck is this about? Is
also, you know what's been bumming me out a lot lately is pillars in comedy shows. Every fucking L.A. show has a damn pillar in front of it.
So the audience has to look around.
Yeah, I think they've got one at Bar Lubitsch, and it's like they've got one at the Palace... And there's countless other ones. Like, pillars are the enemies of L.A. comedy shows.
But comedy clubs and there's something to be said for the pillars of our industry, but I don't think that's what anyone was ever talking about. That was actually...
You know what has pillars? The Acme Club in Minneapolis has pillars, which I'm going to be at, looking at those pillars, from August 6th through August 10th.
Oh, you, would you like
two
to plug...
Shows
we,
Friday,
are, we are wrapping it up. Would you like to plug anything?
I think I'm good with the... August 2nd is Austin, and then Minneapolis. But I do want to say, people, please watch Henry's Kitchen, because the only reason I make these things
Kitchen.
Because people watch.
Go on YouTube, go to Henry Phillips's page, or just YouTube search Henry's Kitchen.
Yeah, it should come up.
And
it'll be
you
one.
Will laugh, and also build up an appetite, which is a terrific combination, but don't try and eat while laughing.
My last one came out great, except for I forgot to put the
big
mushrooms
spaghetti.
In, so I
big
had to throw
spaghetti.
It away.
It was a really good episode. I laughed hard. Solid jokes in that.
Thanks.
And then on behalf of me and also the Do You Need a Ride podcast, go ahead and go on to iTunes and give us a positive review. If you want to give a negative one, you could take that, write it down on a piece of paper, roll it up, and stick it in your own ass.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be funny if somebody actually did that.
Yeah, they're like, well,
hey, I did. I got it up my ass. Now, what do I do?
How do I get it out?
Because I really want people to know how bad this is.
You need to go to a doctor. I just talked him through it. There's a proctologist in your area. I think he's in your insurance network as well. You want to have him pull out that.
And then he what? He sends it to iTunes at that point? How does iTunes eventually know that I don't like the show?
Take the paper out, and the doctor will help you extract your negative review, then send it to iTunes. There's an address.
Then do I say which podcast? podcast I was reviewing?
Yeah, okay. You'll just send that. And
I just don't know how they know.
Yeah, they'll know. Just you'll have your stool sample on there, and from that DNA, they can figure out who you are and what your email is, and they'll reply back to you and say, okay.
And I don't need to log in or
no, no. They,
okay.
You're logging in once you stick something in your ass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, technically.
So they just know from my ISP.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
I've been Chris Fairbanks my whole life. This has been Henry Phillips, my temporary co-host and friend, temporary friend as well. And next time we come back, Karen Kilgariff will be off of these writing jobs she's been writing on. But until then, this has been DYNAR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.